Well, as sometimes happens with me, I changed everything. I changed my sermon at 5:30 this morning. And you know why? I'm going to be very honest. The one that I was going to preach, I preached here 2 years ago. And I thought maybe somebody will hear it and say, aha, he's cheating. But you know, we pastors have a barrel so big of sermons, you know, it's just a huge barrel. For me, about, I'm going to say, 54 years of preaching. Now, I don't know how many sermons that is, but it's a lot. So I just riffle through what I've got, and I found another one for you. And I liked it, and so I'm going to preach it. And so if you want to follow me in the reading, it's found in Mark chapter 12. Verses 35 to 40, and it is a communion message. It's almost down to the end. And in this particular passage, Jesus has been really in a very drawn-out battle with the scribes and the Pharisees, the righteous scribes and Pharisees. They were trying to find a way to condemn him. They were trying to find a way to prove that he was wrong in the things that he said and taught, that he had no standing with God, his Father. So if you read the chapter up to the point that I'm going to beginning to read, you'll see that Mark has that bang, bang, bang controversy continually in his gospel. And he's arguing with them from the Word of God. And he is the Word of God, so that's going to be a winner for him, right? He's only speaking what God spoke. So here we have Jesus talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, and his disciples and the apostles are all around him. And he starts in 37 is where I'm going to start reading. Because they're arguing with him that how can David be our Lord, and he wants to prove that he is the Lord. David himself calls him Lord. If David calls the Lord, how can he be the Lord? That's what they're saying. How can you be his son? The large crowd listening listened to him with delight. They were happy to hear Jesus preach and fight the untruths and the half-truths and the falsities of the scribes and the Pharisees of his day, the self-righteous people. But all the common people, all the ordinary Joes of the day and Janes, they heard Jesus with gladness. Wherever he went, they went. They followed him. Out to the seashore, they went. On the side of the mountain, they went. And he preached to them and taught them. And as he was teaching, it says in verse 38, Jesus said to them, to the people around, watch out for the teachers of the law. Watch out for them. They like to walk around in flowing robes. They like to be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the place of honor at banquets. They devour widows. That means they steal everything that the widows have. They devour widows' houses. And for a show, they make lengthy, long prayers. And Jesus says, such men will be punished most severely. And then he went on to, because he saw a lady, a very poor lady, a widow. And she was doing something that the others were not doing. They were putting in from their great abundance these kind of gold coins and silver coins, and they were making their offerings, and they were saying, see how good I am. So he sat down opposite the place where these offerings were put, and he watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. But then he saw a poor widow. And she came. And she put into the offering two very small copper coins. You can almost hear them go clink, clank. Worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples around him, Jesus said, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth. This poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, of their amassed fortunes. But she, out of her poverty, put in everything. Put in everything. All that she had to live on. Here endeth the reading of this lesson. May God bless to our hearts and to our ears, to our minds and to our soul, to our spirit and to our body, the truth of this holy and beautiful word. Amen. So you probably want to know what my sermon is entitled, right? It's not in the bulletin. Well, I'm going to keep you guessing. No. I'll tell you. It's entitled, The Common People Heard Jesus Gladly. That's it. The Common People Heard Jesus Gladly. And when you listen to the lessons of the Gospels, you know why they heard him gladly. He was not a hypocrite. He did not lie. He told the truth all the time. Sometimes it even hurt. Not too long ago, I read the following poem off the internet. You can find a lot of good stuff there, by the way, if you didn't know it. I mean, good stuff. I'm not talking about good stuff. You know what I mean? It is called The Land of Beginning Again. Isn't that a great name for a poem? The Land of Beginning Again. I wish there were some wonderful place called the land of beginning again. When all our mistakes and all our heartaches and all our poor selfish grief could be dropped like a shabby old coat at the door and never be put on again. Wouldn't that be a wonderful place? A place of new beginnings. Perhaps we even long for new beginnings at times. Well, for we who are Christians, I would like to remind you this morning that there is such a place. There is such a place. It is the good news of the Christian faith, which I and all pastors should be preaching every Sunday in their pulpits. The good news, the gospel that Jesus came to deliver speaks of this place when it affirms that we can be forgiven. I've talked about that before in these 5 weeks. You are forgiven. I keep saying it. You are forgiven if you repent and change your mind and change your direction. You can be forgiven. We can have a new life. We can, with the help of Christ, make a new beginning from our past. In our lesson, we read that the common people, the everyday, ordinary folks like you and me, who live simply subsisted on minimal material blessings. Well, I can't say that because God has been so good to me. Even though I never earned a lot in my life, God has been so good to me. But there are folks who live around subsisting on minimal material blessings and still trusting in God, still following Jesus with joy. It was these people to whom Jesus gave hope. It was these people that Jesus lifted up. It was these people that he made happy and blessed and sent away rejoicing. And you know, they loved him so. It was these people to whom Jesus had given hope. Even the penniless widow offered her coin to God in thanksgiving and praise. And Jesus pointed her out to his disciples. Jesus told people, all kinds of people, that they were special to God. And that's what I want to say to you today. Do you know, do you really know that you, whoever you are special to God? Every single one of you are special to God. He loves you. He cares about you. He died for you. He lives for you. And in the end of time, he's going to be coming back for you. Or in the meantime, if we die, when we die, he will send down his angels to carry us up to our heavenly home. Jesus told people they were special. Jesus treated every one of them with love and with respect. He valued them. He prized them. He thought you were the light of the world. He thought you were the gift of God to your neighbor. He thought you were the way the world would be saved and redeemed. He treasured you. He included you in the circle of acceptance that he had created around himself. And he still does that today. You are the people of God. You are the people who love the Lord Jesus Christ. And that will never be changed, and that will never be forgotten. Tom Toole is a senior minister in the Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church, a big, prestigious church. The Fifth Avenue Presbyterian, yeah, right on the main drag down there, New York City. And on those Sundays when the church there, Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church, celebrates communion like we're doing today, he takes time each month to go down on that day to the homeless shelter to work in the soup kitchen. Think about it. The pastor of this huge church, wealth all around him, power within his grasp, goes down to work himself in the homeless shelter. After everyone has finished their meal, he says to them, "Now you've been fed here with soup and bread and a meal, I'm inviting you to come into the chapel over there, that door, and I'm going to offer you the bread of life, Holy Communion. And you're welcome to come in and receive the bread of life, the forgiveness of God, the love and mercy of God." And he offers that every communion Sunday to those who have come for breakfast. One day he came to a man who was kneeling in the line of people ready to receive communion. And as Tom got up to this man, kneeling there before him, he offered him, of course, as what we're going to be offered here today. And the man went like this, "Skip me." "What? What did you say?" He said a little louder, "Skip me." And so he looked at him for a moment, then he said, "You stay right where you are. I'll be back in a few moments when I finish serving these people." And so he passed on down the line. And he came back to this man. And I think there are some people in church on Sundays, and I've seen them from my pulpit. You can see everything. Don't try anything funny. Because the eye of the minister is upon you. And I could see people in the congregation say the same thing. They didn't say, "Skip it." But they passed it by. They just went like that. And I remember what an old, another one in another century pastor said when he saw somebody doing that. He yelled out right out loud in church. He says, "Take it, man. Your sins are forgiven." And sometimes I want to do that, but you would be mad at me. Take it. Well, anyway, this man came back. And Tom said to him, he said, I want you to give me communion. So the minister got down on his knees and he gave the bread and the wine to this poor man. This man that didn't want to take it. And he says, is it legal? Can I do this? He was worried, scared. Nothing will happen. You're okay. I give you a promise. So he did. He finally took communion because when Tom came back, he knelt and said, you give me communion. And as he was so fearful, he held the tray out to Tom and he said, body, blood, Jesus for you, hang in there. That's what it said. That's what he said. Hang in there. Later on, as Tom reflected on that, he said, of all the communion rituals I ever read, I don't recall those words. Hang in there. I may say them today. They're pretty good. But at that moment for me, he said, communion was the holiest it had ever been. It's a good story, isn't it, for a communion Sunday? Aren't there some people that should be kneeling beside us who aren't? You should invite them lovingly, not judgmentally, not angrily, just lovingly. Why don't you come to church with me? The pastor's so good. Or whatever he is, I don't know. But the point is, you come. You come. It's a good story. The whole story of the giving of bread and wine on the night of Jesus' betrayal is a story of love and grace, of acceptance, forgiveness, reconciliation, bridge building, and holiness. And not one of us, I'm going to say this today, right now, not one of us is worthy of this gift. None of us in this room is worthy of this gift of Holy Communion. The remembrance of our blessed Savior, which he left us. Remembering his life that we may be forgiven of all things evil. It is one of God's greatest gifts to you. I've taken the Lord's Supper to so many in the last days of their lives, in the infirmary, in the hospital, and even in their homes. And I'm telling you this, at that point in time in a person's life, they are so happy to see me and they are so happy to receive the Lord's Supper. They take the bread and they hold it almost desperately. They take the cup and sip. Communion, and tears glisten in their eyes, and they are touched, because I'm telling them, this is life. It's a good story. The whole story of giving bread and wine on the night of Jesus, of grace and acceptance, tears, words of love for Jesus, and of course, hope, fill people's eyes in those moments. So I just am encouraging you very simply now to take the bread and cup, not unthinkingly, not thinking about what's baking in the oven or what you have to do tomorrow or some problem in your life, but just think a moment about what this really means. Jesus really did die for you. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, we're told. And it is a story that reminds us to think, to relish, to accept what it represents. Do this, remembering me. The supper is to help us remember what Jesus was all about. And why the common people, the people of the small villages and towns in which he ministered, were so happily and gladly following him. The poor, the homeless, the sick came to hear him with glad and happy hearts. It is the one thing that makes communion very special. Amen. Heavenly Father, We come now to that moment when we are going to share together the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, say prayers for people, receive an offering, do those other things we do almost habitually in church. But may communion never be a habit, at least not in the sense that we just do it blindly, unthinkingly, uncaringly. Give us a sense of the strength and power that is in this to change us. In Jesus' name, amen.